Hey, Hannes, as you know, my book, Pit to LAX, My yes. Story-Worthy Life, is coming March 25th.
March 25th. Circle it on your calendar.
That's
or
right.
Or mark it on your electronic
You
calendar.
Can pre-order it at storyworthymedia.com or at storyworthypodcast.com. And right now on the phone, I have a friend on the phone with me, Hannes, that was in the Peace Corps with me. Malolele, Janie.
Malolele. Calistina, I believe.
Yeah, so, I was Calistina.
Can't you speak American?
And you were Saini. Weren't you Saini?
Saini, yes, that's right.
Okay, Jane, tell everybody about that little island of Otea that we lived on in the outer islands of Tonga.
Oh, it was in the northern part of the country, and there were about 50 islands there, and we were on in a village of about, what, there were like maybe 60 people there?
Yeah, about 60
and
people.
We each lived with a family, and we did what our family did. We got to go to church three times.
Three times a day.
Do you remember that?
Wait,
yeah.
Why did you go three times a day?
Because
confused.
Tonga is a crazy, full-on Christian-loving nation, and they go to church all the time.
Yeah, but there's... Yeah.
Church bells at 5 o'clock in the morning, weekdays. I remember that.
Yep.
And it was a lot of eating, sleeping, and going to church.
That's
yeah,
what
there's
it was.
Really not a whole lot else to do, so going to church probably filled a lot of time.
Well, and there was no electricity, yeah. So when the sun goes down, yeah. It's over. You know,
I don't mean to be rude, but Christine, are you sure you didn't fake your cancer to get out of this? Because it sounds like a nightmare.
So let me ask you this, Jane. What did you think when I got sick?
It was kind of
lucky
weird
bitch.
Because I think everyone, you know, people have stomach issues. I mean, everyone kind of after you're in the home space for a while, everyone kind of had issues. And I think we just sort of thought, oh, Christina kind of has a cold, you know. And
or she got a stomach ache because of, maybe she drank the water.
Undercooked pig or something.
Yeah. Then when I got diagnosed with cancer, I have to say there was a little tiny part of me that said to myself, you see, I told those guys I was sick. I wasn't faking it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a little bit of the weird thing. It's sort of like we all know ourselves pretty well. And I think that they're so used to dealing with a lot of young people that aren't used to being in this environment. And I think they try not to overreact, but it was pretty shocking.
Christine flies away and you're all like, what a wuss. Oh, she's got a tummy ache. And then you get the call she gets cancer. So how bad did people feel? Did they feel bad?
They didn't give a damn.
They didn't give a damn.
But Jane,
they're like, you can have cancer. I'm still eating fucking root crops.
You know, actually, it did put it in perspective. I mean, it put a lot of our Peace Corps wanting in perspective. It's like, oh, it could be worse. You could have cancer.
Oh, right on, man. Right on. So listen, Jane, you're going to buy my new book or what?
Well, you have to tell me where to get it.
It's coming out March 25th. You head over to storyworthymedia.com or storyworthypodcast.com, and you'll find it right there. Pit to LAX.
You can order it.
My Storyworthy Life. It's only 10 bucks, and to you, that would be, that's 35 paanga.
I was going to say, how many paanga is it? Then I'll go get it. Thank you so much. My little pizza.
I'll feed her, Zane.
Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
My name is Zach Sherwin. All I do is drop raps. Hear me talk about it next time on the Storyworthy Podcast.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and work at Club Timbuktu on the south side of Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if we have to leave Los Angeles, we have to go to Timbuktu.
Well, you know why we're at Club Timbuktu?
Why?
Because it's the best hip-hop venue in Milwaukee.
Is it really?
I don't know. It's a hip-hop venue
It's a hip-hop venue in Milwaukee.
Yes. Well, there are so many. Because when you think hip-hop, You think white people eating cheese. That's what I think of the instant. That's
sure
as much as I know about hip hop.
I'm sure they have a presence in Milwaukee. I'm
oh,
sure
absolutely.
Of course
absolutely.
There's music.
Yeah.
there is.
No, there are. And it's like, but our topic today?
Our topic today is rap made me a man.
Yes, although it could make you the man. But
rap
it, in this case,
me a
it made
man.
Him.
I mean, those are big words,
those
man.
Are big words, yeah. And of course, it's good because nobody knows less about rap than me. Oh, wait, there's one other person who knows less about rap. You.
Well, listen, I do remember rap in terms of, like, I know what I like. Like, I love the Beastie Boys, and I've always liked Eminem. So there's definitely, you know,
well,
there's been hip-hop in my life. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't like any of it, but I always say this about music because my musical tastes are all over the place. There's good and there's bad, and that's all there is to it. And I know that Eminem is good because I can stand to listen to it.
Well, so
you understand what I'm saying?
It's like
but you
can respect talent.
I'm saying talent. No,
you like
I don't
want
to listen to it, but I can stand to listen to it, which means he has talent.
I see.
You know what I mean?
In
like
your opinion.
In my opinion, which is the be-all and end-all of the world. But it's like, what I'm saying is, like, I won't dismiss the genre as worthless just because I hear a bad rap song. I know that there are people with talent doing
right.
it.
Right.
I
all
still
right.
don't want to listen to them, but I can usually discern who they are.
Well, tonight,
like,
you
I
guys,
know that Kanye West is just an incredibly pretentious moron, but I know he has musical talent.
I see.
But that's got nothing. That's neither
two
here nor
things.
There.
Right. It's apples and oranges.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you guys. Our guest tonight, Zach Sherwin. This is why we're talking about it. Zach is a rapper, Hannes.
He is.
It's our first rapper on Storyworthy.
He is. I'm a little afraid. I think he might be armed. He's got a posse. There's 45 very frightening men here. And
now you're
I'm,
being very stereotypical with your hip-hop knowledge.
I am.
I mean, that's not...
Well, all
know.
I know about hip-hop is the source of words. 3 to 5 people are killed every single year.
Oh, my
that's
gosh.
That's all I know.
Oh, my gosh. Here's what I want to know. There is something about hip-hop and rappers where it does seem they have to be cool all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't be
like,
dorky.
Can you go down to Trader Joe's and just pick up some, you know what I mean, frozen food and go back and microwave
right,
it
like
and be all
right?
Like
the Rock and Roll Ralphs on Sunset Boulevard. And it's called the Rock and Roll Ralphs because all the up-and-coming rock people would always shop there because they're always...
They're
so
close
you see
by.
A guy
it's
with
the
a giant glam haircut and he's pushing, you know, eggs and diapers through the aisle.
Yeah.
You don't see that with rap.
No, you don't. But I don't think that you have to be cool all the time. Here's what I always am very impressed about is how they remember all the words. There's so many words. It's all very, 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 very wordy. And so how do they remember? Or maybe they're looking at a teleprompter. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think they're just memorizing it. But well, that's like saying, how do you remember the words to American Pie?
Oh, my God, because there's only 150 words in the whole goddamn song.
What are you talking about? It's one of the longest songs I've ever heard.
But it's also so slow. It's like a dirge. I mean, compared to rap, I mean, these guys are flying. The words are coming out of their mouth so quickly. It's part of the talent is how quickly they speak.
I think that's the primary talent. I
and
would
the
say.
Rhymes that they make. There are only so many rhymes out there. So if you go with girl, you got like whirl and swirl and world and you're done.
Yeah,
do you know
but
what I mean?
With hip hop, you can just make words up.
No, I think they have
shiz.
To change.
You can add shiz to anything. Shizurl, and then you memorize it. He's shaking his head like I'm full of shit. I know what I'm talking
I'm
about.
I'm going to ask
Look
Zach because
I'm
I think
expert.
That they actually, I think they have to change topics sometimes in a song so that they can get off that rhyme scheme.
I have an old man criticism of rap.
Shocking.
Yes, I know. And it's that so many songs, not every song, not the good songs, but it's like on the occasion I hear it, it's a song about the guy singing the song and how he's a rapper and he's singing a song to you. It's like the subject for the song is, I am singing to you right now. How can that be the fucking subject? Tell me a story about something that happened to you in the past. Tell me about
like
a relationship.
A
Tell me about anything. But it's like,
I know,
hey, man, I'm the world's greatest rapper, and I'm rapping right now.
And I'm here to
Do you
say,
hear me rapping about how I'm rapping? It's like, that's not a fucking topic.
It is as an introduction. Now, Zach Sherwin is sitting here. He used to have the handle MC Napkin. No, it was Mr. Napkins, MC Mr. Napkins. So he had like that was his name.
I like how you think that completely changed my opinion
on
it.
No, but no, I'm saying when he would rap, then he would have to explain who is Mr. Napkins. I mean, I'm just saying, he would have to say, hey, it's Mr. Napkins. I'm here to say you got dirt on your face. I will wipe it away.
I will walk out of this room if you fucking do that again. Do you understand me? Here's what I remember when rap was coming on. I was a young man in the 1800s. Rap was coming up, right? And I heard, I remember this distinctly.
Okay.
A commercial in Milwaukee for the Milwaukee airport. And it was, I guess the point was to try and get people to like fly out of there instead of Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was done as a rap.
Okay.
But it was like the whitest sounding person you ever heard of. Milwaukee is the place to go. You should, and I'm listening, he's going, are you out of your fucking minds?
Well,
do you really think this would?
I don't think it has to do whether you're white or black. It's how you sound. I mean, Eminem is white. The Beastie Boys were white. Zach Sherwin is white. I don't think that's part of it.
Well, no. I'm saying, but sounding, yeah, but you sound, if you sound white, it's probably going to sound. Like, if you listen to a rapper.
But you can be black and sound white, is my point. Like, Luther Vandross, can he rap? Maybe
no,
he can.
But he can make love to you all night long.
And at the
you'll
end of the day.
Never find. Oh, wait, that was Lou Rawls. I love Lou Rawls.
And
whatever happened to him?
At the end of the day, isn't that what rappers are all trying to get?
Well, I've actually heard. Now, when I was living in Germany for a while, I would hear rap in German and French.
Mm.
And German, by the way, is an excellent rapping language because it's very guttural.
Ugh.
I've heard Spanish rap, which I think is called something very specific.
Ranchero?
No. There's a
Rap-chero?
Word for, we'll ask our guest. There's a word for Spanish rap, which is like combines the rhythms of things like ranchero, but it's rap.
Pendejo?
No. Punta?
Thank
Punta?
You very much, Zach.
Punta?
Punta. Yeah. The Santa Maria?
Santa Maria.
Listen.
Ay, caramba!
Zach Sherwin has done a lot of really interesting things. Now, he's got a channel on YouTube that is really extensive. There's quite a bit of content on it, including he does this thing called Epic Rap Battles in History. It
nice.
Is so darn clever, Hannes. I can't even tell you.
But who's in these battles?
Well, they'll take different characters. Like, he's playing Stephen King and Sherlock Holmes, and they'll literally take two people against one another. Like,
yeah.
Sherlock, like Stephen King was against Edgar Allan Poe.
I saw 100 years ago. I know what the battles are about.
So there'll be Edgar Allan Poe making fun of Stephen King and Stephen King making fun of Edgar Allan Poe.
They're
both in character, and they're rapping, and the words are moving very quickly.
Now
it's
you're speaking
right
my language.
You, but it
now
cracks
I,
me up. It's no, just another way to convey.
I would watch.
Yeah, because
that I would
it
watch.
Conveys information, and it's another way to hear it. So it's like another way to hear music, another way to hear information.
Yes.
It's a win-win-win. Okay, there. That's what I have to say.
All right, we've settled it. All right. You know, he doesn't even need, we don't even do, we've settled everything.
I'll tell you something else Zach Sherwin has. He has a video with our good friend Matt Knutson in it.
Matt Knutson?
Yes, he's there in the video.
The
and
K
I said,
man.
Wait a minute.
We call him the K-Man. I just do that.
I see. So there we have it. Now he's here. Zach Sherwin here on Storyworthy, and he's coming up in just a second. But before he does, I did want to mention that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, here's what you do.
Right. You do a bump. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a rap thing. No, you go to storyworthypodcast.com or storyworthymedia.com.
That's right. And you can follow us on Twitter, of course, at Storyworthy. And my book is coming out, Hannes, Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life. It
yes.
drops on March 25th. Big
yes,
big book release
it,
party
it
on
drops.
March 26th.
Wait a minute. I said drops, and then you said books don't drop, and now you're doing it.
Well,
see
I
how influential
because
I am?
Now there's a rapper in front of me, and I feel like my language has to change. Do
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very exciting. Go ahead and order my book at storyworthypodcast.com
and
or
just tell your friends to follow us because it helps us. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It helps. Numbers
it
help. Numbers help.
And don't forget, we have a Patreon campaign that we've been doing, and we've got some success
got
from that recently.
People
so that's
are giving
nice.
Us money.
Ongoing support.
We're actually buying so much cocaine with this money. It's absolutely fantastic.
All right, you guys, hang tight wherever you are. Zach Sherwin is on his way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have actress Ellie Noss.
And I'll be telling you about how I had my baby.
Awesome. That's next time on Storyworthy.
This is Christy Stratton, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We are now in jail. We were arrested at the hip-hop concert at the Club Timbuktu. Because, you know, everyone who does rap is always a criminal and always gets arrested.
What is wrong with you, honestly?
You know who never gets arrested? Country music stars. Oh, wait, hang on. They get arrested all the time.
All the time.
But it's okay because it's funny how, like, white people doing country music, like, you know, get drunk and drive into a tree. People are like, well, you know, he's just living the life, and he's just, you know, he understands what it's like to be a working man. He needs to drink some beer. But if a black guy gets busted with some cocaine, it's like, oh, my God, they're all criminals.
All right, you guys, Zach Sherwin's here right now. He's a comedian and a rapper based right here in Los Angeles. And his television credits include Totally Biased with Kamau Bell and The Pete Holmes Show. Now, like I said, he also writes and performs in that blockbuster YouTube series called Epic Rap Battles of History. You have to check this out, Hannes. It really is clever.
No. It's awesome. I love that stuff.
Zach's own music videos have been viewed millions of times online, and his album is available on Comedy Central Records. And you can find him at ZachSherwin.com and also on Twitter at Zach Sherwin. So, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Zach Sherwin.
Thank you, guys. Hannes, you talked before about rappers being armed, and I am armed with a wonderful story. When I was 2 years old, my parents got divorced and my dad kind of took off pretty permanently. And so needless to say, being raised the only child of a single mom was not the most masculine of childhoods. I was pretty bad at sports. The activities that I did in high school tended to run towards things like debate team and concert choir and French club. And by the time I graduated from high school, the only girls that I had made out with were members of the synagogue that I belonged to, which my mom was the rabbi of. So I just craved father figures and male company, and I was really eager to figure out how to define myself as a guy. But I did have some really important male role models. When I was 10 years old, I discovered gangster rap. Now, the first hip-hop video I ever saw was for the song OPP by Naughty by Nature. And after that, I was completely hooked. Tretch, who was the lead rapper of Naughty by Nature, and the other rappers that I looked up to were cool and dangerous and manly, which was everything that I wasn't but wanted to be. And so pretty quickly I started writing my own raps. And while I may have looked like a dorky Jewish kid on the outside, on the pages of these notebooks that I would fill up with lyrics, I was on some pretty thugged out shit. So to help tell this story and paint this picture a little bit, I'm going to read for you guys some of these raps that I wrote between the ages of about 13 and let's say 16 or 17 years old. So let me start painting the picture with this first one. When I rediscovered it in my rap notebook, I saw that it was called Similes. And it goes like this. I rock discos from Dat Coast to Disc Coast, and I bring that lyrical bing bing like two Nabiscos. Yo, this goes to MCs who think they can test. Think they're the best? Be my guest. Turn your ass green gradually like a Duracell battery test. Do you remember those from the 90s? You'd pinch them. Oh, hell yes. And lest you think I'm jesting, I'm a part the sea like I'm Charlton Heston. Got the best in my squad and my back. At the top, you never lack a lot of homies who be hanging on your nutsack. I've cut back, got rid of all my friends except the closest. Don't need friend overdoses. You never know who's rotten like cirrhosis. Cause nowadays I lead peeps like Moses, but I remember back to the days when I peddled drugs like the petals of roses. So of course I had never dealt drugs or engaged in any criminal activity, but writing about breaking the law and being violent felt really fun and really tough. And super importantly, it was an activity that other guys accepted. And so pretty soon I had this small group of friends who I would make up raps with. And I wrote this next one with my friend Kyle Bell, whose rap name was Yardy K. That was his name because he rapped in the dancehall reggae patois, and Yard is a nickname for Jamaica. So this one is a rap I did with Yardy K. And it goes like this. Suckers try to come up and fake the funk. I can't stand all that junk. I have to handle you punks. Drunk monks test and wind up in chunks. I slam dunk over bitch fools and humpity hump your mama's back trunk. Biddy bye bye bye, says Yardy K. And then the mortician comes and hauls you bitches away. I spit some explanations, get some play like PlayStations. Me and Yardy on some hip-hop reggae cross-cultural collaborations, innovations. I make new shit just like the mobile infantry. Those were the good guys in the movie Starship Troopers, if you remember. Here's a diaper and a pacifier. Shut your mouth. You're infants to me. I'm not convinced, you see, that you'll be going down in history. It's a mystery to me why you think you'll be immortalized. The winners write the history books. The losers get recircumcised. I tap jaws with round kicks and uppercuts. So step to my crew and get this microphone shoved up your what, what? I always come correct with mad clout, yo. No doubt, yo. Yardy, take this microphone. I'm out, yo. So despite my claim that we had this cross-cultural collaboration, needless to say, Yardie K and I were both white, which did not stop us from performing at our almost entirely white Missouri High School's Black Awareness Assembly one February. I appeared under the name Zach the Ripper. The performance went very badly. We were backstage before, we were like waiting to go on in the gym, and Yardie had his microphone up to his mouth and said, "Is this on?" And it was, and so he heard it echo throughout the gymnasium, and then unthinkingly he went, fuck. So we almost had the plug pulled before the performance started, and I tried and failed to kick a freestyle in Hebrew during the performance because I had just seen Wyclef Jean rap in Haitian Creole on MTV a few weeks before, so I wanted to do that. So not a successful performance, but in my mind, when I was spitting raps into that microphone, I wasn't me failing in front of my entire high school on the floor of the gym. I was like Tretch in the OPP video. So I kept writing, and I'm going to read one more verse. And in this rhyme, I can just hear myself struggling so hard to be what I think being a man is. And I'll say before I start reading this that at the time I composed it, I had had neither sex nor oral sex. So this verse is called "I Represent What?" And it goes like this. I represent what? My nuts, son, my balls. They're what draw the hoes close when I'm sending out the booty calls. Fellas, shake your hips. Come on, let them swing. They're not only my homies. They're like a couch for my ding-a-ling. Or less like a couch and more like a shelf. I adore them and represent for them because they can't do it their damn self. They don't have mouths or brains and that's a problem. But yo, it's all good when your mouth comes and gobbles them. I represent what? My nuts, son, my genitals. There's two of them. They're brothers like the motherfucking chemicals. In general, I wear boxers so they can hang and dangle. They make that slapping sound, bitch, if I can hit the angle. I keep it laid back and rap about my nuts over a track that's mellow, man. Each nut is like the nose of Grover. Really picture Grover's nose there and think about the comparison. I once read this at a show and someone came afterwards and said, for a while I thought you meant the nose of Gonzo, which is a very different shape. And if your testicles do look like that, then I encourage you to seek medical attention promptly. So I filled a few notebooks up of raps like these. But after a while, as I moved through my teens, it wasn't rewarding anymore to pretend that I was this guy. And to do my impression of the rappers that I was listening to. And so eventually I went off to college in Boston at Brandeis University, which is funny for any Jews who are listening. And I stopped writing rhymes. It just ceased being a thing that felt okay to do because I knew this stuff I was writing was so not me. But then during my sophomore year of college, I went to Brandeis, which is in Waltham, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. And I had a friend who went to Tufts across town in Medford, Massachusetts. And my friend worked on the student activities committee, and she was in charge of bringing in entertainment to perform at the school. And so one day she calls us, me and the group of friends, and she says, "You guys, I'm in charge of the Fall Fest concert at Tufts this year." This would be 1999. And she was like, "And if you guys want to come, you can. The headlining act is Naughty by Nature." And I heard it, and I absolutely couldn't believe my ears. And she was intimately involved with the event. She had picked Tretch up from the airport and driven him to the school. So she was in charge of this thing, and she said, "If you guys come to it, there's a bunch of other bands, Naughty's headlining, and you guys can stand right up in the front in the VIP section." And so we went to the concert, and they're performing all their songs. They had just put out a new album, so they're doing the hits, OPP and Hip Hop Hooray and Feel Me Flow and Jamboree, I think, was the album that had just come out. I might be wrong about that. Listeners, if you're listening, feel free to make that correction. So, but during the show, they're maybe like 2/3 of the way through, and Tretch slows everything down and he says, "Okay, you guys. So at every concert, we like to do a thing where we invite local talent to come up and stage and on stage and rap with us. Tufts, you know who your best are. Send them up to the stage." And so our friend Myrna, who has us standing right in the front, hears this. She knows that I like to rap, and she immediately grabs my hand and sticks it up in the air. And Vinny, their number two guy, points at me and he goes, "Okay, Kid Rock," because I'm white. And I get up on stage, and suddenly I'm on stage with six other like tough students and Naughty by Nature, the band that brought me to hip hop in the first place. And so it comes my turn to rap, and KG, who's their DJ and producer, the guy who made the beat for OPP, points at me and like scratches in an instrumental, and I deliver a verse. And I have to say, I absolutely destroyed it. The crowd totally went nuts. He was cutting the beat out for my punchlines for emphasis, and I would deliver the punchline, and then the crowd would explode at the same time as the beat came back in. You can hear the excitement in my voice as I'm talking about it again. It just was one of the most... it was one of the first experiences in my life that was like that, and I'm sure everybody has had some their version of this feeling that I'm talking about, and this was the first time that I'd really had it. So... to the point that the next day there was an article in the Tufts Daily student newspaper, and I can send you guys a like file of this. I have a scan of it if you want to put it up on like your site or whatever. But, you know, it's an article about the concert, and then it says something like, at one point, an unknown student seamlessly wove a rhyme using rhetoric and hydrochloric. And I was like, that's me. That's me. So the crowd's losing their minds. I finished my verse and Tretch comes up and he puts his arm around me and he says something like, you didn't know it was going to be on like that. Who is this guy? And I could feel his like bulletproof vest pressing into my old Navy t-shirt as I was standing there in what I can only describe as his fatherly embrace. And I just felt so completely fulfilled and like a man. And it was everything. So that night I went back to my dorm room, completely suffused with this experience. And I went back and listened to their first album, self-titled. And I was listening to the song Ghetto Bastard. And the first lyric of that song, Tretch says, I was one who never had and always mad, never knew my dad. And I was like, man, we aren't that different after all. And that's my story.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Thank you, guys.
So did that like totally give you the confidence then? I mean, did you start rhyming again?
Well, what happened was the year after that, I went abroad in Australia and I just happened to meet this guy in Sydney, Australia, who is kind of a old school legend in the scene. He's a rapper named Elf Transporter. And
oh, Elf.
Yeah. You know,
he owes me money.
I had a feeling Hannes was going to be an Elf fan. And, he lived down the street from me and we would get together. He taught me how to freestyle, improvise rap on the spot. And that relaunched it. I started writing again and then...
But wait a minute, that guy, I would think Tretch. I mean, after you listened to that album that night, I mean, didn't that spark...
I think Tretch was the first step in me getting back into it. Elf was the second. And then some other experiences from there kind of led to where I am right now. But yes, absolutely. That was a renaissance. I had it not been for that, I might have left hip hop as a thing that I liked in my teens, but never really did anything with. And instead it's become,
I like,
you know,
that. I
everything.
Like that you have stories with a guy named Tretch and Elf. All my stories involve people named Stan and Bob.
I mean, how fun is rap that there's all the, it's, yeah. I mean,
now,
wait, well,
when
that's
you
a fun
did
part of
for
it.
The, at the concert, were you freestyling then or were you doing one of your old raps?
I couldn't freestyle then. And I was watching other guys try to freestyle and fail. And I thought that's not going to be me. I can't blow this
so
opportunity.
So you did one that you had.
I did a pre-written
one. There were people
one.
Ahead
in
of you?
In the chamber.
In the chamber.
Were there people ahead of you that were going up, other students?
Yeah, I was maybe fourth or fifth. And a white guy had gone right before me and tried to freestyle and just clowned himself. And I was like, I'm not going to be that dude.
I can't imagine that kind of, that's a lot of pressure.
It was scary, but I had this verse ready to go and I knew it, you know, forwards and backwards. So I knew it was going to be okay.
No, that's awesome. I like that because that guy, I can tell just in my head, he's a drunken frat guy who thinks he's the greatest fucking thing on campus and went up and humiliated himself. And I enjoy that idea. Who've had to follow you?
I don't
see. Did
you that, weren't? I want to be the point.
You're number four. I don't want to be number five. Where it's like, oh, this guy actually has material.
You know who? I think the guy who closed it out was their student body president. His name was Larry something. I hope there's some Tufts alum who's listening to this, and he just crushed it. He was so great. And everybody loved it. It was a really nice way for it to end. Everybody knew him. It was like the fitting end to the performance.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting earlier when you talked about when you were younger and you would think about being a different character and writing those rhymes as a different character, because that is what Eminem did with Slim Shady and Marshall Mathers. And so he would have alter egos.
Personality, yeah. Alter egos. Yeah.
Okay. And so did you have the alter ego then of Mr. Napkins? What was that?
So really quick, and this will actually segue nicely into something I want to talk about from the top of the show. Mr. Napkins was, like I alluded to in the thing, I had a succession of absolutely mortifying rap names. MC Mr. Napkins, I think, was the last in that series, but I had it for a long time. But I was Zach the Ripper.
Zach the Ripper.
I was Z Styles with a Z on the end of Styles. I mean, it's just so goofy. But all you know, you don't know that you can be, everybody had a rap name that I listened to. You don't know that you can just be you. And so Napkins was not a character. It was just a name that I chose for myself and went with for a really long time until I felt I've outgrown this It's at best neutral. I have a song about it on YouTube called Stage Name that tells the whole story.
Right. I watched that. It's really good. And when you said goodbye to your stage name.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm just Zach Sherwin. This is who I am.
I just want to be communicating my ideas as directly without those layers in between me and the crowd.
Yeah. Who edits some of your videos, man? The editing is terrific.
Oh, thank you. I will give shouts out to such editors as Ian Brownell, a friend in Boston, edits a lot of videos. A guy named Joe. I don't know his last name, but I'd know it if I had to pick it out on a multiple choice.
But the thing is these videos are really intricate. I mean, there's some pre-production going on. You're writing it out. You know what's going to happen. Is it shot by shot?
A lot of my videos, some of them are. And then a thing that I really like to do in videos is do one take videos where one additional cool piece of it is that we did it without any edits. It just happened.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my dreams. But here's what I'll say. To the question about MC Mr. Napkins, it was never a specific character. It was just a fun name that I like to use because it's fun to have more names. I like names.
Sure.
At first, my character, I would say, was parody of... I was just copying the rappers that I... You know, the gangster rappers that I heard.
You mean, in other words, you were trying to be like goofy white guy rapper?
No. I was trying to be Real from Cypress Hill or Tretch from Naughty by Nature or, you know...
The Old Dirty Bastard
from the Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah, yeah. I rap about the stuff they rapped about.
Yeah.
And then I got a little bit more self-aware, and I was basically doing the guy you talked about, Hannes, before, the rapper who only raps about how great they are. Because then there's still a platform to be witty and to show your talent, but it's safe for me to talk about how great I am because, A, I assume everybody understands that I both mean it and am tongue-in-cheek about it, so that's a much more comfortable place than being like, I shoot motherfuckers, I fuck bitches.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Saying about rap that, like, critiquing rap for being too much about the rapper saying he's good is being like, I don't like basketball, man. Everyone's always, like, dribbling the ball and trying to shoot it into the net and scoring points two at a time.
I hate basketball for that very reason.
No, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's the form. People have done other things with it. There's, like, brilliant plays. There's slam dunks. There's strategies.
There's players
who elevated the form. But that's, like, inherent to the idiom of rap. So that's what it is.
Oddly enough, there are actually... I don't remember when I would ever have been thinking about this, but I've been thinking about that. There are other musical forms where people write songs about the fact that they're singing a song about you. There are, in fact, it just somehow never penetrated my very white old brain. But there's something about rapping where you're just like, you're rapping. I got it. But it's actually not unusual. It's not just rap. There's like songs.
Yeah, but it's like in their own language, in their own art form. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it seems to me like the idea of the rhyming, especially when they're being mean, is ironic. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so...
No,
you
that
would
I'm
hear,
not sure.
Okay, well, if you would hear like a childhood rhyme, Jack and Joe went up the hill to catch a pail of water. It's like... It's sort of the same sing-songy going back and forth, but they're... being mean sometimes. They're being quite mean to one another or quite derogatory.
In rap. But you'll see, even in battles, there's a huge online battle circuit where you watch people rap battle each other and it's vicious. I mean, you're kind of nervous.
But it's so interesting. They're doing it within a melody and a rhyme.
Yes, and at the end they hug. That's part of the thing.
That's such a talent.
So it's kind of like comedians doing roasts.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly.
It's
very similar.
It's roast humor.
Roasting, yeah.
Good way to look at it.
Here's the other thing I wanted to follow up from before. You were saying, why don't they tell a story? Why don't they rap about something on a topic? That absolutely happens in rap from the very beginning to the point that on Rapper's Delight, the very, you know, quote unquote, the first rap song ever, it's stolen lyrics from other rappers who've been doing it for years. But that song, the first verse is all about how great the first rapper Wonder Mike is.
Yeah.
And then Big Bank Hank, the second rapper, tells this whole story about how, you know, he's like Superman and he steals Lois Lane away from Superman. She's like attracted to his styles. And then Wonder Mike tells this weird story about going over to a friend's house to eat and his mom makes a bad dinner and you have to pretend that you like it. It's like, what are these doing in the same song?
That's really funny.
But so from the beginning,
finally,
that was
a song I could get behind.
Do they change topics because the rhyme runs out? Can that happen?
No, I don't think that's why people change topics, because they can't think of a rhyme. I think there's a million reasons why topics might change in a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also songs that are very specifically telling one story from beginning to end, and the narrative evolves from the first line of it to the last line of it,
right,
and it only concludes at the end. Or you might have a song where three rappers all contribute their own take on one central topic.
And then it might go to a chorus,
and then there's a chorus that unifies it, right?
And, right, okay. And so do you play any instruments at all?
I've taken some piano lessons, but I have to answer no to your question.
Have you been interested in instruments? Are you, I mean, in other words, or as a rapper, you don't need it? Or you just need a DJ.
Yeah, you need a producer, which is a huge thing.
Is the producer the same as a DJ?
They can be interchangeable. Not always, but for our purposes, let's say yes. I once went to a concert of a great rapper named Mr. Liff from Boston, L-I-F. And at the show, he was like, guys, my mom's here. And I happened to be standing right next to her. And I was like, oh, opportunity. Moms like me.
I
said, excuse me, I'm such a fan of your son. I think he's so talented. Both of which were true, but also I knew would endear me to her. And I said, would you mind after the show, could I just rap a quick verse for him? And she said, he would love to. And then after the show, she says, Jeffrey, and Mr. Liff comes over and she says, this young man wants to rap for you. And Mr. Liff, if you ever hear this, thank you so much for not brutally crushing my
heart. Oh, he's one of our
heart.
Patreon people. He gives us money every month.
He listened to my rap very thoughtfully, didn't say that was great because it wasn't, and said, right on, keep writing. And he said, my biggest piece of advice to you, learn to make your own beats. And that was about 10 years ago, and I haven't, and really wish I had started 10 years ago. I'd be an expert now and more independent.
Oh, shoot. Why didn't you?
I just thought, doesn't matter.
How do you go about that? So I take my kid to piano lessons and then I take her to beat lessons.
Yeah. I think having musical know-how would be super helpful, having an understanding of chord progressions and musical structure, yeah. But also with software nowadays, that's not as important. You can build, I don't even really know the answer to this because I'm so inexperienced. You can build using software like Reason and Pro Tools and Ableton,
sure.
And even stuff like Fruity Loops, easier. More simple
Garage
software.
Band.
GarageBand.
I would buy Fruity Loops just because I like the name.
They sound
that
so crazy.
Sounds like that. That
but
that's
you
the,
know,
that's what I should be using to make a rap album. Is Fruity Loops? Obviously.
Here's the thing with music, as you know, I mean, everybody starts at zero. Nobody can just play the piano. Everybody has a timeline, so you should start.
I know. I read a quote that said, a year from now, you'll be asking yourself, whatever you want to do, a year from now, you'll be asking yourself, why didn't I start a year ago?
Because even if you played piano 10 or 15 minutes a day, it is interesting how you start seeing how chords progress.
Yep.
Listen,
you piano?
I play piano and guitar. Are there any 70-year-old...
You produce beats?
I produce beats, that's right. Are there any 70-year-old rappers? Has that happened yet? Can that happen?
I was just on tour with Kamau Bell, and we tweeted out, are there good rap albums made by rappers in their 50s? I don't think there are rappers in their 70s at this point, unless you count Bob Dylan or I really want to think of a black.
Yeah, those guys started so young that they're not 70
yet. You know, Bob
Dylan
was on the cover of AARP magazine.
Wow.
God damn it.
If you rearrange the letter, spells a rap.
Forever young. I mean, no,
what was
not
that
so
thing?
Much.
This is total sidebar, but there was a weird thing of people on Facebook were grandparents on Facebook were trying to write to their grandchildren and say,
oh, yeah,
happy birthday from your grandmother. But the autocorrect was changing it to Grandmaster Flash.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
So young people were getting endless messages about Grandmaster Flash from their grandparents. They were like, what the fuck is going on? So they had to talk to him. He was like, respect your grandparents. I'm thinking, Grandmaster Flash, I think you probably are a grandparent. Let's face it. You're like 56 years old.
Is he 56?
Yeah, it's like
Flash.
But that's for a rapper that's older.
Yeah.
Who do you think? And I think I'm asking
Flash
questions.
Go ahead.
Who do you think is the best rapper? Who do you think is the best writer? Is it always the same person, or is the person who's a better writer of raps than a performer? Because they almost always perform their own, or do they always perform your own? Come to think of it. Does anybody write songs for rappers, or do they have to write it themselves?
Does it have to be personal narrative?
Oh my gosh, so much stuff here. First of all, I want to say that the example that I gave of I just have to go back and tag this. The example that I gave of a rapper in his 70s was Bob Dylan. And there's people who are like much more. Bob Dylan is one of many. I'm not saying he's the inventor of rap music. I just have to get that straight.
No, he's a poet. I mean, you could also interpret that as a type of rap.
Yes, and there's lots of black musicians and storytellers who are
a lot of wordplay in Bob Dylan.
Yeah. A lot of wordplay.
Yes. Okay, cool. Okay. I'm going to move on from this point. Yes. I feel a little awkward, but okay. Ghostwriting in hip hop is a huge deal. Lots of rappers are upfront that they have ghostwriting assistants. There's a rapper named Skills who put out a song called Ghostwriter that's all about how he's written for all these people that you know. But in the song, he muted everybody's name or put an obscuring scratch sound effect over everyone's name. And at the end, the song ends by him saying, and if you don't give me my respect, I'm going to put this shit out with the names in it.
Mm.
So You know, huge. There's lots of ghostwriting stuff, but it is kind of stigmatized to not
see. Now that's weird. That's
thing.
Called ghostwriting because in every other genre, it's just called writing.
A songwriter,
right?
It's just songwriter, which is not in it. It like Johnny Cash didn't write most of his great hits. That doesn't mean nobody thought Johnny Cash wasn't
any
as
less
good,
of him, right?
Yeah,
just because he didn't write Ring of Fire,
right?
It's like it's a little weird that it's.
I think he did write Ring of Fire.
No, actually, his wife June Carter Cash, before she married him, wrote the lyrics for Ring of Fire. I am full of useless information about country music.
Zach just went to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like it's a little weird to me that that's stigmatized because it can't be that you just that's just not the way professional music works. Other people write things for you, and in other like in R&B, it's not like that. People can write like what was Beyonce's song? The Single Ladies,
right? Mm-hmm.
Right, huge hit. That was written by a man.
I
saw him
that.
Win the
yeah.
Grammy,
but nobody cares.
But it's like nobody
cares.
Was like, what? She didn't write. Nobody's yelling at Beyonce because
like
she didn't write your song.
In
of course
rap
she doesn't
music,
write your song. She's a performer.
There does seem to be a lot of like taunting back and forth between performers, and so maybe it's more personal.
I think that a lot of times these generalizations are only that, but I think in pop music, oftentimes you provide. Have you, there's a book I read about comic books, and they say if you just draw a smiley face, two vertical lines, and then a curved smile, it's very abstract, and anyone can see themselves in that face. If you make it much more detailed and give it an ethnicity and an age and a gender and a hairstyle, it becomes much less difficult to map your own experience onto that.
Yeah.
I feel like pop music oftentimes is trying to be very abstract. Anyone can relate. You hear a song about breakups, and you're like, oh, these lyrics aren't so specific that it can't be my breakup.
Pop songs are all love songs.
Right, exactly. Often rap is, often, not always, rap is really about the personality of the specific MC and their experience and their narrative. You know, we all know 50 Cent got shot in the chest 9 times, and that was part of his mythos, what made him him.
Yeah.
You know, for Lil Wayne, it's a huge deal that he's from a specific part of, you know, he's from
Suge
Holly
Knight
Grove
runs
in New
people
Orleans.
Down. Sure.
So I think maybe that's why writing your own stuff is stressed more. Because it's supposed to be you and, the individual.
But aren't a lot of love songs in rap, are there?
There are a lot of love songs.
There are.
Yeah. And there's some rappers who do more of them. You know, LL Cool J wrote a song called I Need Love that was a huge deal really early on. But there weren't a ton.
Didn't Naughty by Nature, they did. See, I used to, you know, being extremely white from Gibsonia, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh.
Mm.
The first taste I ever got of rap was when they would take a song and then, like, mix it with another song. So, like, when Naughty by Nature did the Jackson 5 song, I believe.
Yeah. That's OPP.
Oh, OPP. Oh, that is it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause then
it's
so they're
ABC sample.
ABC, and then you hear Michael Jackson's little voice
come
in.
Come on, let me show you what it's all about.
I love that.
Yeah.
So that, okay.
Huge joy of rap music is hearing samples and that whole part of it. Sampling's
I see.
A big deal.
That's the joy I find. I do.
Yeah, that's one
I
of the
I do enjoy
many.
That.
Yeah, I could turn
you
on to rap.
My elderliness is creeping very slowly up my spine.
Well, it's basically like a mashup. It's almost like a mashup.
Yeah, but they're not paying the money and they're not writing the fucking song. They're.
Oh, but it's so much more interesting. Remember when they did Killing Me Softly over? Who did that?
Yeah, the Fugees.
The Fugees did that over.
Yeah,
and
the
like
only reason
so
that song was
any
good is because the person who wrote the song 30 years ago in the first place.
Yeah, but I don't take that away. Just because that was a good song and it was written well doesn't take away from the fact that they did put it out in a different form and it can still be good and on a different level, right?
Well, again, I'm old. My explanation is I'm old.
Genuinely, it's not entirely for you. Like, if you that's great.
Oh, no. It's not remotely
for me. But I think these mashups
can
be for Hannes.
This is why I
Hannes, you've
always
got a
say,
couple
like,
moves.
There are people who, but you can tell, like, I can tell, I'm saying, it's not for me, I don't want to listen to it, but no matter what, any kind of art, there's only good and there's only bad. And I've heard Eminem, I've seen Eminem, and I'm like, this guy has talent.
And
I'm not going to listen to it when I turn this television off. And I'm not going to buy this ever, but I know that he has talent. I know that Kanye West has talent.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
I just learned the phrase digital native, which is people who are born in the social media generation.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And it's second nature
one.
To them, like fish and water.
Right.
I can participate in social media. I do. I love it. I get a lot out of it, but I'm always going to be a fuddy-duddy unless I really,
like
I always
the last
will.
Generation before.
Right.
the digital native.
I overlap, but I'm not squarely in it. You could be like that with hip hop. I'm sure I could give you a sheet of lyrics and play you a song and be like, look at what he's doing here. Look at how this rhymes. Learn about this. Now do you get this reference? And you'd be like, oh, that's really impressive. But you may never be driving down the 10 and think, oh, dude, I got to pop on that Tribe Called Quest album or whatever it is.
I think we're all safe in saying that that's true. That's never, ever going to happen.
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there are a couple of hip-hop groups in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Is that redundant? I mean, can like Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but that doesn't make sense, does it?
Oh, I think it does.
But it's not rock and roll.
Run DMC was...
Yeah, but
very,
the rock and roll, yeah, that place covers a lot of ground.
I see,
a lot of ground.
The Beastie Boys are in there too, right?
Yeah.
Specifically, Run DMC, all their beats were samples of Led Zeppelin. That was what was happening with Def Jam, the label they were on at the time.
Interesting.
So tons of rock informed it, and they did, they have a song called King of Rock, and they did a song with Aerosmith, Walk This Way. Rock
was supposedly the big thing, and I remember when that video came out. It was very deliberate in a way. It was like, here's a rock band that you know, and here's a rap band, and we're trying
to
make.
Spell
we're
it
basically
out for
they're
you,
saying it's okay, white kids, you can listen to rap.
Relax,
that was the entire point of that song in that
right.
video.
Yeah, right.
Do you like G Love and Special Sauce?
I've never sat with G Love and Special Sauce. Yeah. They performed at my college one time and hooked up with a girl. I remember.
Shocking.
No, that's not true. They're opening band.
They're probably
I don't know them
the
too
generation
much.
Before you. But yeah, that was another. Oh God,
what was their big
that.
Song?
Gosh, My Baby's Got Sauce. I mean,
baby's
right
got
off.
Sauce.
Yeah. My Baby's Got Sauce.
I'm just thinking about lunch now. But I you said something that made me think something. It's like part of all of this and part of my complaining is all not just generational, but also a sheer matter of the generationalness of. Like rap is still relatively young. Like it will evolve and all the people doing it will evolve to the point like when rock and roll started and people were used to just hearing standards on radio, they were like nobody was given the Elvis and the Beatles, those people didn't win fucking Grammys.
Right. Mm.
People defining 1964 didn't win a Grammy in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
now,
always behind a little bit. So at this point
I see.
McCartney can be the halftime at the Super Bowl and every your grandparents think it's fantastic.
Right.
So at some point the rappers will be 70 years old and the people who are listening to them will be 50 years old.
Yes.
And then they will be like, I know the Super Bowl is not, but it'll be just like, it won't mean anything. And somebody who's 20 at that time is going to have to come up with some musical form which is going to piss off their parents who love Run
well,
DMC,
I think they have that
which is
music,
going to be hilarious because that always happens.
That's the music where it's just sounds. What's that called again? Like the new form music.
EDM is probably
EDM,
is that what you're thinking.
And they're just, it's just
music?
Like tones.
I think it can be instrumental, but I think there's often vocals, so I might not be talking about the same thing as
Listen,
you.
Listen, I want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy, but first, I really want to know about your mom being a single mom.
Yeah.
And what she's doing now, and I'm sure she's proud of you, but did she have boyfriends when you were growing up? I mean, in other words, you didn't have a father figure at all, or what was that whole scheme?
Yeah, my mom never remarried. She dated some people along the way, but never anything like super serious that lasted for years.
Did that bum you out?
I was a happy kid and I'm a happy adult. So I'm going to say no, it didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe at times earlier in my life, I was more awkward around men than I was women. And I think that's just as a result of being raised in that household.
Yeah.
But I have three really great uncles and two others. No, just kidding. All of my uncles, there are three of them, are great. Yeah. And so they were around and I had friends of my mom's who were men and older, So I had people around, but I was really like, when I found one of those, I like locked into it. We didn't have a TV growing up. So when I would go over to a friend's house and TV would be on, I'd be like, yes, this, I need to get my mind around this.
And why was that, do you think, your mom?
And so just the same thing with being around dudes. My mom, she was a hippie and never cared about it and didn't.
But a lot of music, obviously.
She turned me on to the Beatles and.
And what were you listening to? Not vinyl. You were listening to CDs.
Cassettes. Yeah, CDs started coming in at the end, but I was a cassette guy until
college. When I grew up 1,000 years ago, we literally had to go through different forms, right? So first you'd have Frampton Comes Alive on the vinyl.
Yeah.
Well, sure. And then you'd get it on 8-track, and it would be like, do you feel like we do? And then it'd go, and then, change tracks. Then you'd have it on cassette, which you could burn through, you know, four copies of Frampton Comes Alive on cassette, like in a weekend, because cassettes were such shit.
Yeah.
Then you got the CD.
Yeah.
And then you get it on the digital, all these forms. So for you,
they
did
just
cassette,
keep making us buy the same songs over and over again.
In
how
different
many copies?
Ways. And now everything's digital, right?
Yeah.
For you.
That's right. Yeah, I do all digital.
And your mom, where does she live?
She just retired. She was a rabbi until 2014, and she just retired and now lives in Cape Cod.
And she's super proud of you.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's
your mother
really
didn't move
nice.
To Florida? I thought it was the law. As Seinfeld said, it's the law. No, she didn't.
Hey, nope. Man, you want to play some Shotgun Story Worthy?
Absolutely.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The beach. I studied abroad in Australia my junior year of college, and we went north to a national park called Kakadu, me and my buddy Derek, and we were hanging out, and there was this beautiful beach. The slope of the ocean was so barely you could walk out forever. And I walked out there and I was floating on my back, just enjoying the sun and being like, I'm in Australia. This is incredible. And I go back in and I'm just like, that was amazing. I was so far out. And we go in and go to a little coffee shop to get a Coke or something. And we go in and they're like, hey, I'm not going to do an Australian accent, but they're like, you look wet, mate. And I was like, yeah. They're like, get in the water. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you shouldn't do that. And I said, why? And they're like, oh, lots of saltwater crocs and box jellyfish in these parts. And so I just flashed back to me lying on my back being like, I love Australia.
You know what? Australia has so many deadly things. You could like walk down the street in Sydney and something will kill you, man.
It's true.
There are so
spiders,
many dangerous things over there.
Yeah.
Centipedes.
Now see that.
Like
I want to hear a
insects.
Rap about Australia and its deadly predators.
And a dingo. That
actually, in the Australian accent.
Yeah. What if we give you
good day, mate?
Real quick.
Yeah. Let's give him. Let's give him five words. Okay. Dingo's one of them.
Dingo. Okay.
Dingo.
Croc.
Croc.
What was the other
mate.
Thing?
Mate.
Mate.
And
good day.
Good day.
Good on ya. Good on ya.
Good on ya.
That's what they say at
Sydney.
The park.
Okay.
Cans. All right,
let me spit a quick rap with some words I've never said before. Talk a little bit about Australia's lethal predators. Real quick, I'll just do this at the beginning, yo. Is this too forced of a rhyme for me to make with Dingo, the one that ate my baby? Yo, the styles can rock. Open my mouth and slam it shut. Bam, like a croc. Whether salt water or fresh, they call them salties or freshy. I say mate when I talk to my friend. You get me? Yo, I'm going to put it on ya. When I say hello, I greet you. I say mate, good on ya. And finish it off with the lyrical spray. Peace, I'm out. Ghost, good day.
Wow. That is so that goddamn
awesome.
Impressive. Honestly.
Thanks, guys.
And that's freestyling.
That's freestyling.
That is.
Thanks, Elf. Who I learned it from in Australia. It all comes together.
It all comes together. See?
It all comes together. Great. And so what's your what's coming up for you this summer, this spring?
Oh man. I am.
You tour. Now when you tour, you don't go, do you do comedy clubs or you do concert venues? I mean, what kind of venues?
Well, so I've been on tour since November and since November with my friend W. Kamau Bell, an incredible comedian from the Bay
he's
Area.
Awesome.
Of course.
He's so great. It was such an experience to be out on the road with him. I love that dude and I love doing comedy with him. We were playing, you know, he would headline. I would open for him, do a half hour set before his hour. And we were playing like small rock venues, theaters, that kind of thing.
That's
so that's
terrific,
one kind
man.
Of comedy I do. I loved that. I perform a good bit on the college circuit. So later this month, I'll do the National NACA Showcase in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good.
Yeah. And another one a little bit later. And yeah, I do comedy clubs. I go on self-produced little
indie
tours.
Yeah, I'm looking at your page here. You're going to be at French Toast at Tech.
That's the show that I host here in Los Angeles every Sunday night at Tech.
I love
French
that
restaurant
oh,
in Echo
great.
Park.
Oh, yeah. Great. Right there so, on Sunset.
Yeah, free show. I do new stuff and just interact with the crowd.
Well, that'd
and,
be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so listen,
anytime
good luck
you want
to come. I'm worried that you're going to forget words. Okay. Do you worry about forgetting words?
Oh, great. Let's come back to this. I never, it happens sometimes, especially with new raps, but what do you, like, it's like if someone said, how do you think of questions to ask the podcast guests?
How do
like,
you do comedy?
Like
how
you couldn't you... even answer that question. You just know how to do it. So you do it. And so memorizing to me is like plugging in, it's like plugging in the microphone, like the thing you need to do what you do. So I think anyone with their strength, just there's stuff, questions you don't even have to answer. It's like, wow, oh, that's just the part of it.
Well yeah, I'm no, impressed. It's kind of like, yeah, people say, oh, you know, how do you be funny? It's like,
how I mean, do you're you, funny?
You're, I'll tell you something.
You wouldn't know.
But it's like you're either funny or you're not funny. And like you can do that, you
right? Know,
your brain is situated to it, and it also you were young and you got saturated yeah. in your head the rhythms of it. It's like you could probably teach somebody who didn't, but they wouldn't be very good at it. It's yeah. like how do you play violin? It's like I'll never, ever be able to play violin,
right.
No matter how hard you teach me, and no matter how hard I practice, I'll never actually play the violin. I
Perfect.
Might be able to go through the, I might be able to not. Kill you with the squeaking if I really practice, but that's it.
I don't It'll know because, happen. Like I said, everybody starts an instrument from zero. So I mean, it depends on how you
but
live.
You have
it depends
musical on how you, no, but you have practice. Musical ability.
Okay,
See,
but
no,
I'm
no,
just
no,
saying,
I'm not,
you got to start somewhere. That's all
know,
I'm saying.
Right, but I'm saying there's things that it's like I have no musical ear. I can't be I've had people try and teach me how to sing.
All right, I believe you.
Really, it's all about me. You know what? Let me start a rap about me and how I can't sing. That would be the biggest hit. Wouldn't that be an awesome song? A 35-minute rap about my inability to do anything
Podcast
musically.
Podcast Gold. That's
Podcast
what that would be.
Gold.
You should make
that's
that.
My, a, that's my nickname. That's my name. Podcast
That's your rap name. Podcast
that's
Gold.
That's my Podcast
MC
Gold.
Podcast Gold. That's yeah. a great rap name for you. You should write that and have it available for your listeners.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll make you a beat on GarageBand.
Yes,
Let's
yes.
Do
send
it.
Me a beat. Yeah, you have GarageBand on your.
Hey, mind. Listen, Zach, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
we
you
really
guys. This was.
It. This
yeah,
has been a great
you.
Show.
Not only was this fun
it.
For me, but you guys helped me get some stuff straight that I've been trying to articulate. And you reminded me to hit up my friend Dan about production lessons.
Oh, right on, man. Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Maria Spertolozzi and Andrew Steven, our new sound guy.
Not Stevens.
No, there's only
he
one
will,
of them.
First of all, when we met him today, we called him Anthony for about an hour and a half.
And it's Andrew.
And it's Andrew, and his last name is Steven, not Stevens.
There we go. We've and, got it all worked out.
Okay, everything
oh,
is fine.
His last name is Steven?
I yes, thought it was you like... Thought it, You thought
Jean
it was
Michel
like,
or whatever.
Like Jean-Claude Jean Valjean.
Or like yeah. you the guy like, who wrote our theme song, John Thomas Griffith. I
yes.
love that
three
guy.
Names, too many names.
And I'd like to thank
He
every-
does a little thing called rock and roll.
Ooh. Oh, yes. He raps.
Yes.
There you go. And of course, on behalf of our storyteller, Zach Sherwin, thank you again so much.
Thank you, guys. This was great.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host,
yo,
my name
yo,
is Christine
yo.
Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week. Yo.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.